I want to preface this by saying that I'm not going to be talking. This morning, this isn't like a salvation message or, you know, something like that, or necessarily it ain't to the lost per se. It's to the people sitting in church that, you know, claim to be children of God. It's important to understand that, because God gives certain commands to his people, and then other commands to the lost. And a lot of confusion that's in our churches today is that all of God's commandments and his blessings and his promises are a blanket application to all mankind. And they're not. Some of them are to his people and his children, and some of them are to the lost. And he puts big distinction on the difference between those two camps in both blessing and judgment. So it's important to know that starting out here. Because if everything is right in a situation, then there isn't correction needed. Right. You know, there's things that he says, you know, about the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That doesn't mean like the chastisement of the Lord. You know, the nurture and admonition is different than that. And so what I want to talk about this morning is about what we put our trust in. In Psalms chapter 1, the first part of that verse, everybody knows Psalm chapter 1, right? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That first little part, that's what it says. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 2 says, thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. And everybody reads that verse, and I've heard it all my life, you know, learn not the way of the heathen, learn not the way of the heathen. And we look at that and think, okay, learn not how to cuss and how to adhere to their habits, adopt their habits, and to talk like them, or to be wicked like them. But the way of the heathen, you need to understand, I remember, you know, Grandpa's told me this before, about before he was saved, that was a word that was like what they would consider nowadays, they'd call it a trigger word. You know, he could be, you know, they'd call him anything they wanted to, but to call him a heathen, well, he weren't no heathen. You know, he wore clothes and he was civilized and he was, in his eyes, he was moral. He was honest and paid his bills and that kind of thing. I mean, he wasn't no heathen. But the Lord calls him heathen. That's people who aren't his people. The heathen. Learn not the way of the heathen. Well, what do you mean? Well, the way of the heathen is the way they live their life. It ain't just the negative, bad things that they do. It's the way that they justify the bad things by the good things they do. It's their way. It ain't just the evil that they go do, or their dirty dealings, or their infidelity, or their immorality. It's the way they justify the way they live their life. It's their way. The Bible says not to learn it. Well, what does that mean? Just be ignorant of how they are? No, it's not what it means. It means don't be like that. Don't live your life. Because here's the deal. If you learn their way, you will adopt their way. Because you will eventually, you'll straddle the fence on so many things that eventually you'll be on the other side of the fence. You'll see it from their point of view. That's what you hear so much nowadays. Well, I know. You'll argue with them about what's right and wrong. Well, I see that, but... You know, I see your point. You've mentioned that a while back. You know, well, you know, how they argue with, how they'll debate. Well, I see your point. I can understand. I can see how you'd feel that way. But, and see, the lost and the heathen, that's how they reason things out, because every angle they come at you with is to defend their position in their wickedness and in their way. Now Christians, instead of standing on the truth of God's word, have decided to debate God's word the same exact way, with their own opinions and their own. They've abandoned truth, and now it's the way they feel, and that's how they argue. They have learned the way of the heathen. Well, if you walk like a duck and you quack like a duck and you swim like a duck and you fly like a duck, what are you? You're a duck. If you live in the way of the heathen, and you reason the way the heathen do, and you treat other people the way the heathen do, and you justify the bad that you do with the good that you do the way the heathen do, what are you? You're one of them. When Peter stood down there by that fire that night and cursed and swore and denied Christ, the Bible says he stood with them. Why? Because he was one of them. That's why Jesus said, when you're converted, you'll do these things. Because he wasn't converted. He was still a heathen. You got to understand that. He walked with God for 3 years. He was one of his disciples. He was still a heathen. Why? Because he did what the heathen did when it mattered. In Isaiah chapter 30, we read this the other day, and it was just like it just kind of jumped off at me here. And he said, "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin." I mean, they don't improve their situation not one bit in the eyes of God by the choices that they're making. It literally compounds like a loan with, like a payday loan with terrible interest. Mm-hmm. Sin to sin. Debt upon debt. Guilt upon guilt. Yeah. That walk to go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Man, think of that, what he just said right there. I want to talk this morning about trusting in shadows. And remember what I said at the beginning, I'm not talking to lost people. Or at least people that claim to not be lost. You know, I knew a guy one time that had a kennel. He was a dog breeder. And he had a fine, fine setup. He had concrete floor and all of his kennels lined up. Concrete floor. He had water all the way down through there where he could wash everything out every day. And he had nice chain link around everything. He had an office that had a like a almost like his own little vet shop in it, where he had all of his medicine in a fridge over there for the dogs and a thing to weigh them with. And I mean, he was set up professional. But he made this grave mistake one winter by buying a bunch of straw to bed all of the kennels with for the dogs, because it was an exceptionally cold winter. So he bought straw and broke it all apart and put in there with his dogs. Now, anybody that has dogs or has had dogs like that and knows this, knows that that is the worst idea that you could ever, ever do. Because fleas need two things to live: food and warmth. And they can get both from a dog. But in the wintertime, you'd think, well, see, fleas, what happened was, is fleas get inside straw. Straw's hollow. So they can get inside straw because straw retains heat. And then there's the dog right there with them all the time. So there's their food source. And the population of fleas exploded in that kennel to the point where he couldn't control it. It was too far gone. And so what he wound up having to do was take all his dogs out and, you know, cage them independently and treat them for fleas. And he had to burn everything that was in the kennels. There was no way to get rid of the fleas otherwise. I mean, it was an infestation beyond belief. And you know, our churches are a whole lot the same way with the way of the heathen. We've set up the perfect environment individually, because we are the church. Okay, I'm the church, you're the church, and yet we have cultivated this scenario in our life to where it is the perfect habitat for all this stuff to just flourish. And we surround ourselves with, you know, the equivalent of Miracle-Gro for our heathenistic mentality, while still claiming to be the church and trying to perform the duties and things that the church ought to be doing. And we can make it work for a while, but then the results of it down the line is what winds up coming out being something that is irreprehensible. It's unfixable. We're faced, how many people do you know? What about our family? You know, let's not set ourselves apart here. I mean, it's just us and we're talking here. But we're not excluded from this at all. Every one of us sitting here has got a horrible situation in our families in some way or another. I mean, it's something I think about all the time. And there ain't no resolving it because of the way of the heathen. Because it's a choice. Just like we learn about all the time. It's a choice. It's not something that by nature you just tend or trend towards. No. We're all faced with a choice. And sometimes the choices are so easy. I mean, it's a no-brainer. Sometimes they are hard. Sometimes they cost you everything. Yep. Or else you compromise. You straddle the fence. And you make a mockery out of what your testimony is supposed to be. Egypt's always a picture of the world and sin in the Bible. And he said, they walk down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth. They do it so they can strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh. My goodness. Pharaoh. The modern Christian prides themselves these days on being well-rounded, broad-minded, and informed because, you know, if you cleave to the Bible and the truths of the Bible, you're ignorant. You know, that ain't for today. You're stupid. What are you? Not only that, but you're selfish and you're all the things that the heathen are. In their eyes, that's what you are. If you cling to the Bible in your antiquated ways.
Right.
They want to be inclusive, tolerant, slash, let me say, not tolerant. They'll superimpose the word loving. You know, you're supposed to have love. God is love, don't you know? Don't you love people? To the point where they'll dictate what you wear because you love or don't love somebody or care. Mm. That's been made obvious in the last 6 months.
Yeah. Right.
And that's what modern Christianity promotes. You know, well, why would you want to be, you know, perceived as being those things I said? Well, because of the way it will make you look and be in the eyes of everyone else. It's not about God. It's about how you're perceived by everyone around you. You know, they don't care what God thinks about them. He's just a neat idea.
Yeah.
I mean, we're right here in the real world, don't you know? We're having to live this every day. So we have to do what works. We have to do, I mean, you know, it's like we get to make our own decisions. But with a God theme. It's like changing the wallpaper on your phone. That's what most people's religion is. It's just it's the lock screen on their phone. And it's subject to change. It's an option that's subject to change just as much as that is. You know? You just chameleon into whatever situation you're in so that the heathen don't think that you're, you know, like them. But, you know, the crazy Christians over here, these tambourine whackers over here. Mm. But that you're also not just a rank God-hating, God-denying heathen. Mm-hmm. You know, you're the happy medium that they ought to want to be like too, you know. Mm. Because you can hold hands with the world and hold hands with, you know, well, not the tambourine whackers, but, you know, the ones just this side of them a little bit. And then, hey, you know, we'll bridge the gap. I'll be the healer of the breach. See? I'm going to connect the two worlds. It don't work that way. What part of come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and then I'll receive you. Do you infiltrate with straddling the fence and holding hands with the world too? You can't. And that goes for everybody. And it goes for everybody's family, and it goes for everybody's friends and co-workers, and the people you love, and the people that hate you, and the people that love you. Yeah. Like I said, sometimes this decision, these choices are real easy. And sometimes they're really not. There's a progression in the digression of this matter, you know? There's signs and tells that if you're watching and you know what you're looking for and you're following the truth of God's word, that's the baseline. That's the measurer, by the tape measure by which you measure everything, the ruler. Then there's tells and there's signs that you can just say, I recognize that. I know what that is. I wish it wasn't, but I recognize what that is. We call a spade a spade. And that be what makes you helps make your choice for you. Number one, there's three things I want to cover here. Number one, they take worldly counsel, not God's counsel. He says it right off the bat, that take counsel, but not of me. You know, there's all kinds of counsel. At the world, everywhere you go, I mean, think about these little bitty kids. What is everybody trying to do for them? Pour something into them. They're just this little empty cup that just... Everyone's trying to help them. Help them walk. Give them a toy. Help them, give them some food. Help them do this. Help them, you know, not crash into the table. We was in there practicing a while ago, and Livy come in, and she's spinning round and round and round, dancing while we sing. And I stepped over in front of the table because it's only about 15 seconds. She's going to get dizzy and fall down right into the table and whack her head. So I moved over so that if she fell, she'd hit me and not the table. I mean, it's the influence that you are on someone else or that someone else is on you.
Right.
And it's one thing to be influenced indirectly or inadvertently, and it's another thing to go seek counsel. And once again, you're not a child at this point in our lives. This is the, you know, the adult Sunday school class, right? We're not children. You expose yourself on purpose to the counsel that you want to hear. Now, we just do. And it's either a good thing or not. And you can say, well, I'll be the judge of that. No, you won't either. You know, I seen a quote there, and I wish I'd have wrote it down, but it was from Winston Churchill, and he said, I've long past, I think Rick posted it, he said, I've long since got past taking people's word for what they are. I just watch what they do. And that defines a man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it talks cheap. They take counsel from the world. They seek counsel, but not mine, God said. Mm-hmm. Where's worldly counsel come from? Well, we can name all kinds of stuff. But everybody has their two or three that they'll spout off, but then they avoid the other ones where they're getting their counsel. And, man, you know, start paying attention, like proactively start looking at your life and think about where, sincerely. Now, don't take a bias. Try to step outside of yourself and outside the box for a minute and look at your life and say, okay, based on the things that Seth Miller does, where's my counsel coming from? Who's influencing the things that I do and the choices that I make?
Mm-hmm.
You know, worldly counsel comes from lots of places. And of course, nowadays, first place we think of, where? Everybody together. Social media, right? You know, that's social media. And, you know, we talk to some people. I see them all the time come to my shop and I'll say, well, are you on Facebook? Because that's, you know, they're wanting to know where to see some pictures or something. Lots of people. We ain't on Facebook.
Yeah.
We still have our Instagram, but we're not on Facebook no more. And, well, good for them. I understand. And I'm on Facebook and on Instagram and all that stuff. But, boy, I've been looking at it here lately. Like, this morning I was sitting there, and I was scrolling through it to see what was up this morning. And I started noticing that, you know, all of the stuff that vexes me, like right now, all the political stuff that's on there and all of the bashing and mudslinging and campaigning and, you know, dirty dealings that's going on. And I'm looking at where it's coming from. Not the ad, but I want to see at the top up there who posted this. And, man, it was kind of disappointing, really, because the people that are posting this stuff are supposed to be promoting, you know, they claim to promote the kingdom of God. But instead, right now, for these few months, they're promoting another kingdom, another king.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think, you know, who's influencing them? Who's counseling them? Is this, if I was going to base where I got my counsel based on what they say they are, well then, by definition, I'd be right there lapping it up with them.
Yeah.
But the truth that I know, not about politics or the candidates, I'm talking about the truth of God's word, and what he said is going to happen in the last days, and the kingdom for which I am supposed to be living in the first place, when I think about the truths that it says, I look at that, and I can't be a part of that, really. That's not me. That's not mine. That's not, I don't want no part of it. And the further we go, the more I feel this way. I want no part of it. It's not my kingdom at all. I don't want, I'm a pilgrim, sincerely. Because that's not me. That's not what I do. And yet, there's a lot of people will look at who posted that and justify being a part of that kingdom because of who posted what. They took counsel. From who? A godly person? Well, no, a godly person wouldn't be doing that, yeah. I feel.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. But they'll justify taking that counsel from who they're saying is a godly person and then follow right after it, and it's the way of the heathen. Yeah. Posted by a heathen. All these groups that people follow will literally influence the way you feel about everything from how to grow your garden to what to put on your plants to how to raise your kids to how to doctor your cat to how to mow your grass to how to chop wood, how to do whatever. And instead of going back to somebody who's actually done these things, they'll go to that instead and take their counsel. And then look at you like you're stupid if you don't too. You're wrong. No, they don't look at you like you're stupid. Not just stupid. You're just wrong.
Yeah.
You're just ignorant. You just don't know. Poor little you. Going about their merry way, walking in the way of the heathen.
That's right.
The counsel of the ungodly. Look, people can post quotes from preachers, and they can post preaching on there, and we do to try to be a voice in there and amongst the darkness. But as far as counsel goes, I've just never found any godly counsel that applies on social media. No. Lost family. There's another big one. We have to be around a lot of our family that's lost. And some more than others. And if you're not careful, their counsel, you'll start to adhere to it. You'll start to soften towards it. You'll start to add it to your reasoning, and you'll sit and think about it while you're sitting on a riverbank fishing and think about seeing it from their point of view and trying to understand why this or that or the other. And the next thing you know, you're sympathetic towards them. And the next thing you know, you're looking at everybody, instead of it being a camp of the righteous and a camp of the heathen, you're looking at it as everybody's just God's children, don't you know? And I'm saying that in a mocking way, but you'll look at everyone as a whole. Now, we're all here, and you know, now I can see where, and what you'll do is you'll stand with the heathen like Peter did at the fire.
Yes.
For you know it, you're condemning the righteous.
Yep.
In defense of the heathen.
That's right.
Because it makes you feel better to be sympathetic towards their crying. It's ugly, but that's the truth.
Yep.
Co-workers? Man, how many of us have spent more time with co-workers than our family? Yeah. When you work a job, and even a 40-hour week, by the time you get up before your family does, go to work and be at work for 8 or 10 hours, come home waiting for the kids to get home from school or your wife to get home from her job or whatever's going on that way, and then everybody comes back together at 6 o'clock to eat a grilled cheese and watch some TV for an hour or two, and then everybody goes to their phones or goes to their bedroom or whatever, you've spent more time with your coworkers than you have your family. And they will begin to influence you. Man, I worked a job. You've heard me talk about working at that warehouse where I was working 12-hour shifts at night. And the people that I was around, when you spend 12 hours a night in a trailer with someone else hucking boxes, you don't just talk about hucking boxes all night. You start talking about your kids and your marriage and your religion and your likes and your dislikes. And the next thing you know way more about this man or woman working with you than you ever anticipated you would. And you hear all of their highs and lows. And the next thing you know, you're sympathetic towards them.
Yep.
The only times I've ever been, I don't want to say tempted, but presented with the opportunity to be unfaithful to my wife was in those situations.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's right.
And I mean, the groundwork was laid, and then finally the day came when the question was sprung. Mm-hmm. Just, and I was lost as a goose, but I knew, I recognized it. And I run, boy. Because it was certain destruction.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it was for the fool that come along behind me.
Yes.
Ruined his family.
Yep.
Wife and three sons broke their home up. And I seen it coming. It's the way of the heathen. Yep. Their counsel influences the way you think. Till you'll change. If you are not rooted and grounded in the truth, you'll be on their side before it's over with. And it don't matter. What about your kids? You know, a lot of us still have little kids. Y'all got little bitty kids. But they don't stay little forever. And the next thing you know, they got adult problems.
Yes.
That you're dealing with. And you're having to make a choice about siding with them or not. As if they were some other adult person out here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the choices get hard. Will you compromise? Or are you going to stick to the truth and God's word and God's way? Are you going to represent the righteous? Mm-hmm. Wicked people posing as church people. Oh, that's a big one. Because I've heard people say, where in the world did you hear that? Oh, well, my church family told me. I got such a good church family. They support me so well. If I got any questions, I can go to them, and well, we can talk about anything. Well, if the church is like that kennel full of flea-eating dogs, what kind of counsel are you getting from church? It's the way of the heathen, because they're all heathens. Do they live immoral? Well, maybe not, but they're not condemning. They're not condemning of that sin. In other people, not enough to where they'll separate themselves from them. Yeah. You got to understand that. Why do you think God made it so black and white for the children of Israel? Man, because they had been in Egypt for 400 years. They were completely infested with heathenism. And so he said, this is how it's got to be, or else it ain't never going to work.
Right.
And he made it rough, but it had to be. And why would you think that as the day approaches of his return and more dark this world gets, it's just going to get easier for us?
Yeah.
No. You better brace up. Because, you know, the old saying, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Well, for Christians, as the day approaches, it's going to get tougher. It's going to get tougher. You better have some grit. You better have some determination and some resolve in your heart. That you're not going to compromise in front of your kids so that your lost family will think that you're all right, or that your coworkers will not abuse you at work so much, or so that your wife might not think you're a crazy nut job for believing in God, or vice versa. Or your kids won't, you know, think that you're a hypocrite because of the way you've lived your life in front of them and then leave you and leave God. So you'll compromise so they'll stay. You know, he said, if you're not willing to forsake your father, your mother, your children, you're not fit. What do you think that means? What do you think it means when he said in the last day there'll be children turn against their parents, brother against brother, father against son? This is what he's talking about. You're going to have to make a commitment to God and then stick with it. Or else you're just playing. You're just playing games. They cover themselves with a covering, but not of my spirit. You know, they can pretend real well, but they're not, you know, you can see through it. They and all their people around them relish. What do I say? They revel in their covering. They're a wonderful church. They're wonderful programs. All the things they're involved in, all the things they do, all the money they give, the trips they go on, the things they have for everything going on. But everybody out there looking in says, what a crock. What a bunch of hypocrites. What a bunch of selfish people. Look at all the money they're spending so they can go on these missions trips, which is just a mass church vacation to some foreign land. That's on the church's dime.
Exactly.
They ain't doing nothing. But honestly, making the foreigners that they're going to see be codependent on their wallets.
Yes.
Not trusting God. Calling out to God for their needs. Nah. If you can create the right environment, man, somebody will bring their whole church and a big fat wallet and buy materials and build you a church building. And it's a big photo shoot for Instagram and Facebook.
Oh, yes.
Which then pads the pews of your church with more people because what an awesome thing they did. Oh. And it is to the lost looking in, they say, what a waste of money. What a bunch of hypocrites. It's a covering, but it's not of his spirit. And then they make literal physical efforts to follow and seek after Egypt, the world, and what it has to offer. And as they do it, their boldness grows as their pursuit of worldliness increases. Emboldened by the very counsel of the world they long to identify with. That is literally what happens with every single person that goes this path. I mean, he didn't say that, well, they were influenced by these people and they just sort of woke up one day and, you know, oh my, like the frog that got boiled. No, he said they walk to go down into Egypt. They go their own purpose. They seek it out. And they've not asked at my mouth. They do it to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Well, why don't we drop down here to verse number 7. It says, for the Egyptians shall help in vain. This is what you need to remember. All the choices that we have as to what side we're going to take or if we're going to stand, what we're going to stand for. I mean, you know, I believe firmly, and man, this is, it almost seems foreign to even say it, but I believe that if the Holy Spirit is the one teaching you the Word of God sincerely and for real, you seek the truth, ask of God, He gives it to you through His Word. And if you were in Africa and I was in Mexico and you were in Canada and you were in Asia somewhere, and for 5 years we asked God to give us wisdom from His Word, and then 5 years later we all come back together and He had, we'd all believe the same exact thing.
That's right. Yeah. Exactly.
Wouldn't be five different versions of God's revealing in the truth in His Word. And it's not going to be that way in churches either. If the Lord's the one giving the truth, and it's coming from His Word, and He's the one revealing it, then we'll all be of one mind. We'll all believe the same thing. There won't be, well, I see what you're saying, but. Well, I see, I know what you're saying, but, you know, in this circumstance, it's a little different. Well, maybe for you, but not for me. Well, no, it's not going to be that way. Not going to be that way. For the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this, God said. Their strength, you know what their strength is? To sit still. Their strength is to sit still. They're not going to do anything for you. They're going to say they will. The counsel you receive is going to make you think that this old way that's in here, this way of separating yourself and drawing a line in the sand and say, I will not pass that mark. I'm not going past that. And then not do it. Nah, that don't work. It's a different time. It's a different age we live in. You know, there's things that we know now that we didn't used to know. There's things been revealed by God in these latter days that they didn't know. Are you kidding me? Go ahead. Go ahead. He says their strength, the strength you're seeking after, is to sit still. You'll push all your chips to the middle and I mean put it all on the line. Sacrifice everything you've ever known about God. And they're going to look at you and laugh. They're going to do a thing in the world for you. Now, he said in verse 8, go, write it before them in a table, and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come, forever and ever, that this, and here's the problem. He said it in the very first four words of the first verse of this chapter. Woe to the rebellious children. That's the problem. It's been the problem all along. It's not something that is a result of you following after the way of the heathen. No. You follow after the way of the heathen because you are a rebel.
Yes.
You have a rebellious heart. It's one of the things, the first thing that gets annihilated when Christ becomes the Lord of your life and you become a Christian, is that you're no longer possessor of a rebellious spirit.
Right.
Woe to the rebellious children. Verse 9, that this is a rebellious people, lying children. Children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. It'll get to the point where they will not hear you. They won't let you speak. Kind of sounds like a debate nowadays, don't it? Like the presidential debates we've been hearing, where they just blah, blah, blah over the top of each other. Nobody can speak. Yeah, that's the way it is here. Wherefore, thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because ye despise this word and trust in oppressions, in oppression and perverseness. Because see, it's not, you know, counsel. The counsel of the ungodly isn't good sound stuff that, hey, it's just real world, just shoe leather stuff. No. It is oppression and perverseness. Don't ever forget that. Even if it sounds good, it's what it will result in. And stay thereon. That's what they do. They trust in oppression and perverseness and stay thereon. Therefore, this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant. And he shall break it as the breaking of the potter's vessel that is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the bursting of it a sherd to take fire from the hearth, or to take water withal out of the pit. You need to understand something. If you bank on that, if you bank on trusting in some of this and some of that, and some of this and some of that, and holding hands like this across the fence with them, if you trust in that, if that's what you're banking on, you need to understand it's going to be like a dam, where the wall starts bulging out. And then when it finally breaks, suddenly, just utter destruction. There won't be a piece of your life left big enough to even hold a little bit of water. And it'll be gone. It's done. Never to be fixed again. Might be patched up or turned into something else, but it will not ever be the way it was before. Destruction. You trust in the shadow of Egypt, and that's what's going to happen to your life. Mark my words.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, I say this because I've done it.
Yes.
And I've watched my whole life just break all to pieces. And listen, I'm not trusting in it no more. I'm not going to go seek it on purpose. And when I see where it's creeping into my life, it's getting burned out right now.
Yes.
Not going to do it. Not going to do it.
Right.
You start to side with them. It becomes crystal clear that their trust is in the strength of Pharaoh. Their trust is in Egypt. It's just a shadow. There's nothing to be trusted in. What is a shadow? Can you touch it? Nope. What can you do with a shadow? The only way that you can do something with it is for there to be more light. You know? That's the only time. There's nothing there. A shadow don't feel no pain. It don't have no feelings. There's nothing to it.
Place where the light's blocked.
That's right.
Yep.
There ain't no light there. So, I'm just saying, don't trust in shadows. Don't put your trust in the shadow of Egypt. Don't make your strength be the strength of Pharaoh. There's nothing to it. He will leave you high and dry. You seek out the world's counsel on anything, and it'll be a disaster. And not only will it destroy what you're trying to, it destroys your testimony. It destroys the testimony of everyone around you that have anything to do with you. You just, you know, no man is an island. Everything you do affects everyone around you, including your poor choices about the counsel you take. You know, I've never seen someone take ungodly counsel where it messed their life up and godly people didn't have to come along and help them clean it up or bear the load and the burden of what their sin has caused.
Yes.
It always hurts the innocent.
Right.
Man, don't put your trust in shadows.